Turn in the scriptures this evening to Psalm 94. Psalm 94. Give your attention as this is a reading of God's holy word. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs, O God, to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth. Rise up, O Judge of the earth, render punishment to the proud. Lord, how long will the wicked, how long will the wicked triumph? They utter speech, they speak insolent things. All the workers of iniquity boast in themselves. They break in pieces your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. And yet they say, the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob understand. Understand, you senseless among the people, and you fools. When will you be wise? He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? He who instructs the nations, shall he not correct? He who teaches man knowledge. The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment will return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence. If I say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, have fellowship with you? They gather together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood. But the Lord has been my defense and my God, the rock of my refuge. And he has brought on them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. The Lord our God shall cut them off. Let's go before the Lord together in prayer. Almighty Father, we come before you. We hear the song of David. We come, O Lord, to pray that that song may be an encouragement to us. We pray, Father, you'll strengthen the one who speaks and those who hear, that together in this hour we may worship and glorify you, that your word may go forward in power and convict sinners and encourage saints. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, David is the shepherd boy who becomes a giant killer. The youngest son of a military family. He is a soldier, a builder. David is a man after God's own heart. He's the king of Israel. He's a musician, composer of the Psalms. It seems an imposing, almost unattainable type of figure. But he's also a normal person. David lives in a world that is filled with political intrigue, war, economic struggles, sickness, jealousy, pride, his own failures. Baby dies. His grown children behaving badly. He writes songs about these things. And he says in verse 19, in the multitude of my anxieties within me. The King James Version has, in the multitude of my thoughts. And that means pensive, uneasy thoughts. Not pleasant, joyful, bright thoughts. They're weighing on him. He's weighed down with care. They're perplexing, disturbing. Thoughts that you are not prone to speak about. But you keep them to yourself. In the multitude, he says, not rare and unusual, but rather something more akin to, we all have such thoughts. And by the way, these thoughts don't only come when a crisis arises. These are not thoughts that come only when some crushing news stirs up our emotions. No. Such thoughts come to our minds all day, sometimes. They can't be ignored. And when these thoughts do come, you can't fix them by yourself. But what does David do? He doesn't turn to drugs or drink or even therapy. David does not dwell on these thoughts in hopeless depression. Brothers and sisters, when you have such thoughts, you can't run away from them. And unfortunately, the reason so many people get in trouble when they have such thoughts is that's exactly what they're trying to do, run away from them. But he confronts these thoughts with the Word of God. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, David says, your comforts. Not only is he able to bear these anxious thoughts, but the reality is, David says, they cause me to leap and dance for joy. That's a very different reaction than most people who have these troubling thoughts. David has found a way to rejoice. David knows the only source of help when he's faced with these anxious thoughts. Disasters may come, and your health may decline. War might break out. We may find that we have friends that are in great need. We're troubled by the choices our children make. The hour of departing this life is fixed by our Heavenly Father. And until that hour comes, brothers and sisters, nothing can take you away. And when that hour comes, nothing can keep you here. We should learn to sing that song in Psalm 31, verse 15. My times are in your hands. Thoughts within me. What do we do with such thoughts? This is not the stuff of make-believe. No, there's a load of care that fills your mind. There are things that weigh your heart down. And in Psalm 94, David sings a song of faith. Let us learn this song and sing this song. The cry for help. Amidst the sounds of pride, yet the song of faith can be heard. Notice the way the psalm begins. Verse 1. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth. David's heart is heavy because he is thinking about a question that has often been asked. Verse 3. How long will the wicked triumph? Why do the wicked prosper? Why do they seem to get away with their wickedness? David's not the first, the only writer to say this. Jeremiah 12, verse 1. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? In other words, the writers of the Scripture, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, are perplexed. Does it not seem at times that the world's upside down? Good and evil have been redefined, argued by the culture that we live in. The very people that don't seem to play by the rules seem to be winning. Don't tell me you're a Christian if Cardi B is your favorite artist. And if you don't know who she is, good for you. The people who make the most money in sports and entertainment often are not the nicest people. Anybody want to invite LeBron James for dinner? He's one of the most arrogant, rich, powerful, successful sports figures in history. But they seem to be getting along quite well. The psalm begins with a plea for God to do something. Vengeance that belongs to the Lord. By the way, when we use this word, we have to be very careful that we don't think about revenge. I don't know if you understand this or not, but revenge is not vengeance. Biblical vengeance, revenge, is an act of passion. It's a response to injury that is often out of control, just as out of control as the injury that was done. But the vengeance that David calls for, biblical vengeance, is something more like justice. Do you understand that God is not vindictive, petty? God is not prone to outbursts. What David is calling for is more like, O God, to whom justice belongs, let that justice be seen. Rise up, O judge of the earth. This is a call for God to demonstrate His rule over all things. It's also a statement that there is a judgment coming. Right in the middle of a cry for help is a warning about the future of the world. You know, the Bible says in another place that God has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness, Acts 17:31. There's coming a day. The God of justice will have His day. Count on it. How long will it be? That's what the psalmist is asking. But in the question itself, we need to understand that evil will not rule the day forever. God's providence is not diminished
by the presence of evil. You understand that? God is still God even though Satan fell. God is still God even though evil exists in the world. This is a cry for help in the time of trouble, under persecution, in times of war, when oppression seems to be the order of the day. We need to remember that in due time, at just the right time, God will make Himself known as the God to whom justice belongs. May not be in our time, but the cry for help goes up. Why do we need such a cry? Well, listen to the sound of pride. Verses 4 and following. They utter speech and speak insolent things. Yet they say, the Lord does not see. You see, brothers and sisters, the wicked world is not content just to do evil. They want you to approve it. And so they pass laws. And they bring out scientists to appeal to your reason. And they call you the problem. They say such things as, there is no God. In fact, the world has for a long time, the ungodly say that man is the measure of all things. Self is promoted as the only test of right. If it feels good, do it. That's the stated order of the day. The arrogance of the ungodly is on display, is it not? In the words, the music, the politics of this day. I heard a story this week on the news where the person who was speaking was asserting that evangelical Christians are no different than the Taliban. If they push that position, how long do you think it will be before you'll have to wear a yellow star to be pointed out as a Christian? Listen to the experts being given a voice. Legal, medical, social experts who say that murder should be legal. Everybody's up in arms because Texas had the will to stand up and say no more. Homosexuality is made legal. And if Christians complain, Christianity is said to be the problem. There is an atmosphere of oppression in the United States of America. It may not be the same kind of oppression and persecution that people are facing in Afghanistan, but it's there all the same. Can you not feel it? Verse 6, they slay the widow and the stranger, murder the fatherless. This is not ancient history, is it? It's current events. Educated people with advanced degrees from prestigious universities argue for the right to do these things. That's what the psalmist is singing about. And what do they say? They say, the Lord, verse 7, does not see. They are ignorant in their wickedness because they think God is blind. Brothers and sisters, when people believe there is no God, they will approve the most brutal of things. Read your history. A world without consequences is not a place you want to live. No police, or police without any authority, is a world where you can do whatever you want without restriction. That's not a world you want to live in. A world without God would be more frightening than anything you have ever known. Praise God, there is a God. A society without religion, true religion, is no place you want to live. And brothers and sisters, man-made laws will never replace the Word of God. Boy, it sounds very discouraging. But verses 8 through 11, here's the first note of hope and truth in this song. There is a God, the maker of all things, and God has spoken. The heavens declare His glory. They show His power. The history of God's people, all you have to do is read it. Reveal His care and show His rule. Just when it looks like the people of God are about to be wiped out, they're provided for. Here's the truth. Verse 11. God knows the thoughts of man. And what is His assessment? They're futile. It's not their words alone or their deeds alone, but He knows their heart. Why? Because He made them. God knows man because He made man. A creature that boasts of his independence. A creature that is brutal to other creatures. A creature that denies God. What a madness there is in human vanity. How foolish for a creature to deny its own creator. That's the sound of pride. And in verse 12 and following, David turns from his complaint to exercise his faith. His rest from the adversity that he faces is found in the Lord. Listen, dear ones, verse 14. The Lord will not cast off His people, nor will He forsake His inheritance. That's hope. In the same song that he's complaining about the wicked, Charles Spurgeon said, "He might cast us down, but God will never cast us off." In persecution, in trial, in affliction, in war, in pandemic, the Lord has not stopped loving us. Hebrews 13, verse 5. For He Himself has said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." Who will stand up for me against the evildoers? David knows that God's will, God's way, will eventually work itself out. But David needs help right now. And he's asking for it. When there seems to be no help, couldn't we cry out once again for another John Knox, Calvin, Luther? But where are they? Brothers, our great hope is that the God of Knox is still with us. Let us not lose heart, but let us sing this song of faith, verse 17. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence. David would have nothing to say to the workers of iniquity unless the Lord God Almighty was his help. Verse 18, your foot may be slipping, but God's mercy holds you up. You may feel your weakness and your danger, but there's mercy with the Lord. You see, it's not your merit that you need. It's not your efforts that you need. What does the Scripture say? His mercy endures forever. In a world that seems to have gone mad, when we might be facing real danger, real peril. Brothers and sisters, in times past, have you not known God's mercy? Just when you needed it most. Why? Because the Lord has been your help. In the multitude of my anxieties, verse 19, when you're tossed upside down by a world gone mad, when your thoughts are troubled, what can you do? From your sinful thoughts and anxious questions, look to the God of all comfort and to His unchanging Word. Verse 22, the Lord has been my defense and my God, the rock of my hope, my refuge. Unless the Lord had been your help, brothers and sisters, in the multitude of your thoughts, where are you going to turn? The next Fox News breaking alert? You ever get any help from any of those stories? The trouble I have with a guy like Mark Levin, he very eloquently rants and raves, but he never gives us a solution because he doesn't have one. Have you come to the cross of Christ by faith? There's your only source of help. In a world gone mad, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Delight your soul in Him. In the multitude of the anxieties that are within you, come to the Lord. That's where you find peace for your soul. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before You, recognizing, O Lord, You are our only source of help that is real, lasting, eternal. And we come to You, Father, in our weakness that we often feel very acutely. Lord, help us that we may give all the praise, glory, and honor to You. Thank You for solving our biggest problem by sending Your Son. Thank You, Jesus, for living and dying and rising. May our hope be found in that. We ask You to hear us for Jesus' sake.